The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Every Friday night, and when it fades off time, matzah fills my appetite. But every Chanukah you hear me say, something makes me feel okay.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman, and we've got a great show. It's unusual that we get two, not one, but two Hanukkah shows in one Hanukkah. But welcome to our second edition of the Hanukkah show. In this half hour, we'll be talking about Hanukkah and the ins and outs, some of the ups and downs, too, of Hanukkah. We've got lots and lots and lots of really eclectic Jewish music. The closer for the, just let me just tell you, the closer for today's show, the closing music is Knock Your Socks Off. You just want to stick around just for the closer, okay? So that doesn't mean, like, tune off and come back at 11:56, but you'll see. Just stay tuned for that one. We've got an awesome story, insights into the portion of the week, which is, oh my gosh, it's Vayigash. We're still in the stories of Joseph and his brothers. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A Palestinian teen who threatened Israeli troops near the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron was shot and killed. It was later learned that the 17-year-old terrorist had pulled out what turned out to be a toy gun on an Israeli border police officer. Other Palestinians who began rioting at the scene were dispersed by Israeli troops using tear gas and stun grenades. Firebombs were thrown at IDF outposts near Hebron over the weekend. Several Palestinians were shot and wounded in the attack. No soldiers were hurt. A confrontation between IDF soldiers and a mob of rock-throwing Palestinians in the West Bank, you know what he's seeing a pattern over here, resulted in three soldiers suffering injuries. The incident took place outside the village of Kfar Kadum and comes only days after a similar scene in Hebron. The IDF soldiers attempted to disperse a riot before retreating to their outposts under a deluge of rocks and stones. The IDF is reviewing its policy for crowd control as the soldiers' retreat was videoed and publicized. In other news, Finance Minister Yuval Steinitz ordered 435 million shekels, that's more than $110,000, collected on behalf of the PA as duties and taxes will not only be withheld from the Palestinian Authority, but also will be transferred to the Israeli Electric Company, leaving an outstanding debt of another $70,000 that Gaza owes Israel. Israel eased its sea blockade. So you got things going and coming. Israel eased its sea blockade on Gaza in accordance with ceasefire reached with Hamas. Gazan boats can now travel 6 miles offshore instead of three. The UN General Assembly, this is another one of those irrelevant things, approved a resolution calling on Israel to quickly open its nuclear program for inspections and backing a high-level conference to ban nuclear weapons from the Mideast, which was just canceled. So nothing like backing something that was just canceled. Israel has been monitoring activities in Iran by operating bases in Eritrea. Located on the eastern shore of the Red Sea, Eritrea, which was part of southern Ethiopia at one point, was now a new country, became an arena for operations for both Israel and Iran, as both are trying to bolster their influence on the Horn of Africa. Israel, some really good news. Israel's inflation rate declined for a second month in November as growth eased and the prices of gasoline declined. Inflation slowed to 1.4%, the lowest since July. Congress wants to at least double the Obama administration's funding request for anti-missile cooperation with Israel. Obama asked Congress for $100 million in 2013 for Israel cooperative programs, which include programs like the long-range Arrow anti-missile system and the short-range Dove David sling. The U.S. Department of Defense, in the meantime, will provide the Israeli Air Force with 10,000 bombs, more than half of which will be bunker busters needed to attack Iran's nuclear facility, and another 6,900 joint direct attack munitions, which convert unguided free-fall bombs into satellite-guided smart weapons. Oh, how cool. And finally, Italian police seized a shipment of weapons intended for Gaza via Egypt. The weapons were hidden in a cargo ship and were found in the port of Naples. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. There's no guest, but we could say the guest is Hanukkah. So how are you today, Hanukkah? I'm very well, thank you. If you ask a rabbi what's the most important holiday, he's just going to tell you whatever holiday is coming up next or what's happening, as the case may be. So the most important holiday on the Jewish calendar right now is Hanukkah. What's the main deal with Hanukkah? There's lots of main deals with Hanukkah. First of all, you have the presence of the menorah, the light, the battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil, anti-assimilationists versus assimilationists. And then there's the number eight. The number eight appears in Judaism, to the best of my knowledge, four times. If you can think of a fifth time, please email me on rabbifinman.com. Let me know. I'll go, oh yeah. The four times are first the 8 days that Hanukkah appears. There's 8 days in Sukkot. There's 8 days for the day in which a child is circumcised, gets a bris. And there's 8 days of the consecration of the altar in the desert. And each one of these 8 days is a nuanced to going beyond normal, going beyond what's expected, going even beyond nature. You have Sukkot. What's Sukkot? Sukkot is an 8-day holiday, but technically Sukkot is really 7 days, and then the Shemini Atzeres is another holiday added on to the end. On Sukkot, there was a celebration with 70 bulls offered on the altar in honor of the 70 nations. Because in Judaism, we're ecumenical. We like everybody. We just wish that they would just leave us alone. But there's a celebration. The new year is the new year for everybody. It's not just Rosh Hashanah for the Jews. It's not just the Jewish New Year, but it's the new year for it's the Rosh Hashanah for everybody. And so in the temple, the Jews celebrated on behalf of the entire world, offering 70 bulls in honor of 70 nations. On Shemini Atzeres, the 8th day, which is one more than seven being so natural and normal, there was one bull that was offered. And that was in honor of the Jewish people. The 7 days of the bris. Who was the first Jew to be commanded to circumcise himself? It was Abraham. Not actually Abraham, but Avram. Avram could not have children. Now, once he was circumcised, his name was now Avraham. So they were able to override the laws of nature, and Sarah and Abraham had a child. The sanctuary in the desert, we talk about it every year, how miraculous it was. The thing, if you were to try to build it, make a copy of it, it would just fall down. It was top heavy with not enough cross bracing. No, it wouldn't have worked. So just the fact it was able to stand up was miraculous, because our relationship to God is miraculous. All the things that go on to it. And now we'll come to Hanukkah. Hanukkah, 8 days. I ask you a question. Why is it that the Hanukkah we celebrate for 8 days is, if anybody knows, you ask any kid, third grade Hebrew school, first grade Hebrew school, is because they went into the temple and they couldn't find any oil because the Greeks had made every single jar of oil impure and unfit for use on the altar. And then finally, lo and behold, a miracle happened and they were able to find one jar, which is about a quart jar, a liter. And it was still had the signature on it, the seal saying that this jar was totally pure. They burnt it, thinking that it was only going to burn for one day. But they say, well, what can we do? We'll do it one day, and then it'll take 8 days to go get the oil, and we'll come back, and we'll have okay, you know. So it'll, but the Almighty made a miracle, and the oil burned for 8 days. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say God had made another miracle and made it such that to get the oil, which took 3 days to get there, 3 days to get back, and then 1 day for Shabbos when we weren't allowed to travel. So let's say he made it that the messenger got there in a day and a half and got back in a day and a half, and it was 4 days. And our Hanukkah menorahs would have four branches on them. Would it have been less of a miracle? No. It was enough to burn for 1 day. If, however, let's say the guy got caught, he got lost, he got stuck in the rain, who knows what happened, and it took him 10 days to get back, and the oil in the menorah burned for 10 days, would it have been more of a miracle? It's only supposed to burn for 1 day. It burned for 10 days instead of it. No, it would not have been more of a miracle, because 8 days, once it burned more than 1 day, it's already miraculous. After that, it's just gravy, as you might say. So there has to be significance as why it was that the Almighty wanted the oil to burn for a full 8 days. And it relates to this idea that we're talking about the Greeks versus the Jews. The Greeks could not have been more naturalist than the Jewish people. They were like at opposite ends of the spectrum. That's why I said it was such a battle, nature versus supernatural. The Greeks waged all kinds of decrees that were aimed at attacking the spirit of Judaism, we say in our daily prayers. L'hashkicha m'tayra secha. They didn't want to wipe out the Jews. They wanted just the Jews to forget the Torah, not even to forget the Torah. Because they understood this is wisdom. This is very smart stuff over here. They wanted to remove the idea of what Jews called Kedusha, the holiness of the Torah. And they attacked the Greeks. The first thing they did, Shabbos. You want to take a day off? Fine. Make your whole religion revolve around your day off? What a ridiculous thing. And I tell people all the time, listen, Shabbos is the only way I can survive the week, because this is the way it goes. Okay, you have Sunday. What am I doing Sunday? Sunday, I'm cleaning up, getting ready, packing up, putting away Shabbos. Monday and Tuesday, okay, those are days when I'm down to the work week. Wednesday, I'm already thinking, well, what do we need for Shabbos? Who are we having for Shabbos? Let's start planning for Shabbos. Thursday, I got to buy all the stuff. There's decrees that have been levied by rabbis from millennia ago that make sure that you have your wash done on Thursday. Things that taste better if they're left overnight should be made on Thursday. All the different plans, everything done. Friday, doesn't matter what time candle lighting time is on Friday. This week it was 4:42, and it doesn't matter in the middle of the winter when it's 9:50. Friday, I wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, and I start running, and I don't stop running until candle lighting time. It's like, I got to get ready for Shabbos. I got to get ready for Shabbos. I got to get ready for Shabbos. And then there's Shabbos. So in a way, the Greeks were right. My whole entire life revolves around my day off. But that's how I survive. That's how I become more productive. Because I see the sanctity of the entire week. Because I'm keeping the Shabbos. The next thing they wanted to get rid of was circumcision. And they quoted the Jewish, but they quoted our own Bible. Man was made in the image of God. So how can you start hacking pieces off of him when he's a little baby? That doesn't make any sense. You have this godlike entity in its own perfect form. And here you're mutilating the body. It's not like anything that's different than anything that's going on in Europe now or the anti-circumcision people out in California. It's no different. It's the same. It's anti-Semitism. It's just enclothed in verbiage. and jargon. And then they, when none of this worked, they finally said, well, what's so sacred about marriage? What's monogamy all about? Who cares, you know? So, and they levied a decree that a woman, the night before her marriage, had to spend the night with the governor. That the first person she should be with would be a Greek, not her husband. That was really what broke the straw of the camel's back. We don't celebrate the victory of the Maccabees over the Jews, over the Greeks, because you can say it was miraculous, but you could really explain how it wasn't. The Greeks, big Syrian army over here, whatever it was, they're in there, they're riding elephants through mountain passes. Elephants and mountain passes don't work. And all you got to do is be on a higher level than the mountain pass and drop a boulder on the elephant, and now you've got a big mess. And that's really basically what the Maccabees did. The Maccabees, there weren't very many Maccabee soldiers, but they were able to vanquish them. And we see throughout the annals of history that small, hardly organized bands were able to repel large armies. You take a look at the colonial forces versus the British. You take a look, say, the Finns versus the Russians, the Afghans versus the Russians, the Afghans versus the British, the Afghans versus the United States, the Vietnamese versus the United States. If you're talking about just firepower, these little countries should have been blown out of the water. But there's a certain resolve when it's on your turf. Does it always guarantee it? No, not necessarily. There's plenty of countries that lost wars on their own turf. Look at France, for example. So the battle is not really celebrated. And besides, the Maccabees weren't in control for very long, because a very short time after, we don't get this part when we talk about Hanukkah, the Greeks came back and they killed all the Maccabees and then took over again and said, we're taking over again. But they didn't do it with necessarily the same sort of antagonism, but really at that point did it in the philosophy way. Let's get the Jews by being philosophical, and we'll defeat them using simulationist tactics and get them all become good Greeks. And it had its effect, because 200 years later, after the revolt of Hanukkah, the Jews were on the outside looking in, and the Romans were in control. So when we're talking about Hanukkah, what we need to do is we need to understand that our relationship with God and our relationship to the world is one which goes beyond the realms of nature. The fact that there are Jews in the year 2012, almost 2013, just goes beyond reason and rationale. How many countries, how many people were around 3,300 years ago? Maybe the Chinese, maybe the Indians. Okay, look what they developed into. But here we've maintained this like minority to the way we are. And yet, even though the Jews are the smallest nation, I think we're the greatest representation among the Nobel Prize winners. I announce every year. And the fact that people around the world know about this nation, 14 million people scattered around the world, is a testimony to our relationship to the Almighty. We are going to take a quick commercial break and come back with some wonderful Hanukkah music. No civis von, sov. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Here's Shultz Fidman. Here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have up, for your listening pleasures, brand new. This is released just before Hanukkah. This is 613 a cappella. The song they're singing is Hanaris Halalu, which is not really Hanaris Halalu. Hanaris Halalu is I wouldn't call it exactly a prayer, but it's sort of like a declaration after we light our candles. There's a declaration as to what the candles are for, and that's in this paragraph called Hanaris Halalu. So why don't we just listen in to 613 a cappella.
Na 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 na. For the glow of the candles, for the warmth that they give us inside, for it has been in the temple, for the story we retell with pride, for the plight of our father. For the struggle endured to survive, for prevailing where some would not have bothered, for enabling our people to thrive.
Excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's MI for Michigan, KO for kosher, and SUP for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan Cake products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Shulfiman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Next up, for your listening pleasure, of course, we always like to mix things up a bit. The song is called Daddy Come Home. It's a ballad. It's the Yeshiva Boys Choir, and it's their latest Hanukkah song. And it's in English, so I don't have to explain it. So let's listen in.
Is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Barry Schulfeldman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more song. And the Maccabees, they're famous for the I take my hand in the air. They came out with a song like a bunch of years ago. I think it was 2009 they came out with that one, which at this point has got a little bit nudgy, but we did play it last week, didn't we? This is called Stand for Hanukkah. And I guess the word stand for is, for some reason, I'm not familiar with what it's they're trying to parody because I don't listen to that type of music. But stand for is one word, and it's spelled S-T-A-N-D-F-O-U-R. So here's the Maccabees doing Stand for Hanukkah.
Eight nights I stay up staring at those candles. They tell the story that occurred. Eight nights we're thankful for that small miracle. Our prayers were answered and our voices heard. When one night turned to eight, that's why we celebrate. In the dark of night, the candles stand for hope. The candles stand for, the candles stand for
eight nights that we know.
Cause it's finally
not a
I go to a hospital to get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Vayigash. It is found in chapter 44, verse 18 of the book of Genesis, for those of you who are following along. And it is the crescendo of the story of Joseph and his brothers. The big encounter, the word Vayigash means encounter, between Yehuda and Joseph, the viceroy. There's a general rule which was laid out by a Torah sage some 300 years ago, named the Shalah HaKodesh, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, who maintained that there is an intrinsic quality between a holiday and the portion of the week in which it falls. For the most part, Hanukkah falls out and is related to Miketz. Sometimes it has a connection with Vayeshev, which is the portion before Miketz. Sometimes it has a connection with, like in this year, Vayigash. So we have to explain what's the connection. Today is, after all, the last day of Hanukkah. You can't say, well, it's only just the last day of Hanukkah, Rabbi. What's the big deal? Because there's a name for today. Today is called Zos Hanukkah. It's called, Zos Hanukkah means this is Hanukkah. It's called such because of the Torah portion, which is read in the synagogues this morning, which says, Zos Hanukkah Samizbech. This is the dedication of the altar, which is what we read about in the synagogue, because there is nothing in the five books of Moses about Hanukkah, because it happened 1,500 years later, 1,200 years later. This is Hanukkah. Today is Hanukkah. Last night we lit 8 candles. What's the miracle of Hanukkah? 8 days, 8 candles. Yes, that's why we lit 8 candles last night, going back to the beginning of the hour. So there is a connection now with this and that. What's Vayigash all about? Deeper, under between the lines, or under the surface? There's a lot of things going on between Judah and Joseph. Both are promised to be kings. And in fact, the kings of the 12 tribes of the 10 tribes of Israel were descendants of Joseph from Ephraim. The kings of the remaining tribes of Judah, as they were called, were descendants of Judah. And there's always been this parallelism and competition between Joseph and Judah. And it's going to be that way also when Mashiach comes. It's talked about in the books that there'll be a Mashiach, a Messiah, who is the son of Joseph, preceding the ultimate Mashiach, who is called Mashiach ben David, Mashiach the son of David, and David was of the tribe of Judah. So there's constant competition between the two. In the Kabbalah, it describes each of these two kings in terms of godly attributes. Judah is the attribute of royalty, of Malchus, it's called. And understood, therefore, that the ultimate king is from the tribe of Judah. Joseph is from the attribute called, in Hebrew, Yesod, which is translated as foundation, but has no meaning in English. The nuance of this divine attribute is preparedness, getting it all ready. Throughout the creation process, there is a winding down or a building up, depending which way you're looking at it, of what's needed to bring the creation into existence. The ultimate device that the Almighty used was this sphere of royalty. When it says God spoke and said, let there be light, for example, that is like it says that, you know, the king says and everybody does. So God spoke, let there be light, ta-da, there was light. Let's make man, there was people. The attribute of foundation is the preparedness. I'll give you an example. You want to say something to me. In order for you to say it, you have to have, first of all, you have to have the desire to say it. Then you have to have the intellect in which you're trying to convey it. Then you have to emotionalize however you're going to say it. As I use the example, there's a big difference between the expression, get out of here, and get out of here, are two different expressions altogether, even though the words are the same. So you have to decide which emotion you want to put into it, and then you have to prepare just how are you going to say it. That just is the attribute of foundation, of preparedness, of getting it ready right before you're about to say it. So you see, Joseph is really for the purpose of the buildup. The real and absolute finalization is through Judah. And that's why Judah, if you look through the story and just reading it through, Judah says, listen, buddy, we can't do it through you. You're not the guy. Lays on this whole guilt trip on Joseph. If you had an old father and he was going to lose his youngest son and you would die and he was going to make our father die a miserable death and it's going to be all your fault. And finally, Joseph acquiesces and says, yeah, you're right. I can't be the main man. I have to relinquish it to you. It's sort of like in between the lines what Joseph is saying in this state of readiness. That's the portion of Vayigash. Hanukkah, we talked about. What's the deal with Hanukkah? Hanukkah is this idea of going beyond what's expected, going beyond our relationship with Hashem. And going beyond to get Shiva relationship with Hashem, going beyond the laws of nature. This competition between Judah and Joseph was ultimately for the purpose of achieving the Messianic era. Well, what's going to be in the Messianic era will be relating to God, a supernatural entity, in a very natural way and means. Like right now, scientists are proposing that what is the basic building block of all matter is energy. And so the kitchen table at which you're sitting right now having your coffee and your bagel with a schmear, or the wheel of the car in which you are driving and holding on to, is really nothing more than energy. Why is it that you don't see it as energy? Well, because ours are not strong enough, powerful enough, or designed to actually perceive energy. We have to see things in three dimensions. That's just the way nature is. That's the way the world was created. That's the way we were created. Comes along now the Messianic era, and what's going to happen is that we're going to see our three-dimensional world, that kitchen table, that bagel with a schmear, the wheel that you're holding onto as you're driving, please keep your hands on the wheel, will convey godly energy. You'll see it in three dimensions, but you'll see the non-dimensional aspect of it, of the Almighty. And hence, we have this connection because Hanukkah is all about going beyond. The war between, the quarrel between Joseph and Jacob was for the bringing of this era. And so we hope and we pray that the Almighty should bring about the ultimate of Hanukkah. Wouldn't it be really wonderful if Zeus Hanukkah this year happened to be the whatever it was needed to just push us over the edge so that we experience the ultimate of what Hanukkah is trying to bring, the ultimate of what Vayigash is trying to bring, the ultimate of why we're here. Speaking of why we're here, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We've got this awesome Hasidic story coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. If you would like to get in touch with me, easiest, best way to do that, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. And right there on the homepage, there's a thing that says, get in touch with Rabbi Finman. It's not a separate tab even. It's right there on the homepage. Make life easier for you. You don't got to go searching around for it. You click on that. You send me an email. I send you back an email letter. We become best of buddies. What else is on the Jewish Hour? Well, we've got archived editions of the show. We've got the Hasidic U story, the U Parsha, and the E Parsha, which are missives into the portion of the week and insights into the calendar, like for Hanukkah, for example. And, of course, the very important donation page. It is December 31st. You have to have all your taxable donations already distributed for them to count in the year 2012. So it just so happens, coincidentally enough, by divine providence, that the Jewish Hour is part of a larger 501(c) corporation. We're also part with, we do Shalom Wayne, and we have various other things. We have the website and all the things that go on over there and all the other things that we're doing. It's all part of this corporation, and we need your help. We need it at this point, getting desperately. It is already, what's today's day? Today is already the 17th of the month, and thank you very much that the station manager, Mr. Chris McCourtney, is not bothering me at all. Chris McCourtney, is not bothering me. He knows we've been on air over here for quite a while, and eventually we do pay the bill, but it would be easier for everybody if we paid it earlier, and that's where you come in. So go to rabbifinman.com and click on the donations page. Find one of the number levels there that is there. You don't like those numbers, but there's lots of numbers in the universe. You can put it in the other column and type it in. It's all very safe, secure through PayPal. And it will be a great blessing for you and your family if you do that. As the Jewish Hour now, 17 years, we're going on 18, March is our anniversary, of course, will be able to continue. Don't like doing things over the internet for whatever reason may happen to be, send your donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Today's Hanukkah story involves, I'm going to adjust my mic a little bit over here, just a second, involves the person by the name of Reb Moshe Leib Sassov, who was passed away in 1807. He was a disciple of the famed Shmelka of Nikolsburg and also learned a little bit by the Magos of Mizrich and the Elimelech of Lezhansk. He came to the city of Brod 1 year, right before Hanukkah. And there was a very wealthy woman in town, the city of Brod. I'm not sure if the city of Brod and Brody are the same thing. I'm not sure. They're both located in Poland. came to him with a problem. His daughter had, her daughter had some serious complications going on, an illness over there. And the Rebbe said, "Sure, I'll pray for her." The woman took out a sachet with money in it and put it on the rabbi's desk. And the rabbi said, "I don't want money." And she said, "Rebbe, you have to take something. What can I give you?" And he said, "You have a menorah, a very beautiful menorah. I want the menorah." So she said, "Yeah, I have a menorah. It was my grandfather's. But if the Rebbe wants it, I'll give it to you." And he said, "You have to give it to me full-heartedly, not grudgingly." She said, "Rebbe, if this is what you want, I'm giving it to you without any strings or any feelings, and being happy and honored that you want my grandfather's menorah." So it's okay, good. So she brought the menorah that night. That night happened to be Hanukkah. The rabbi, this Reb Leib Sassover, when he lit the candles, he had standing next to him a certain Yechiel Tzoref. Tzoref means a silversmith in Hebrew. And he was standing next to him. And he didn't understand what was his reason why he got this honor of standing next to the Rebbe for the first night of Hanukkah candles. After the candles went out, the rabbi calls in the silversmith and says, "Let me tell you a story. Your grandfather didn't have two kupkes to, not cupcakes, but kupkes, which two pennies to rub together. And when it came time to marry off his daughter, your mother, he couldn't get a loan because everybody knew he's not going to be able to pay it back. He finally went to this rich man and said, 'I have to marry off my daughter, and I really need a loan.' So the rich man said to him, 'You're not going to pay it back. However, you have a really special menorah. If you give me that menorah, I'll give you $10,000, even though that menorah is not worth $10,000. 10,000 gilder, or whatever it is, the unit of currency in Poland. Kroinen. I don't know what they use over there. Zlotys. It's more than 10. A zloty, I think, is like a penny. He said, "No." He says, "That menorah came from my grandfather, who was a student of the... Here the story is starting to not wind. He was a student of a great rabbi who would every year give out a silver coin for Hanukkah gelt." Judaism, Jews were not really encouraged to give like gifts to our kids, but parents and teachers give to their children and students a small amount of money, tokenism. The rabbi, this rebbe would give this grandfather a silver coin every year. And he saved them up over the years. And finally, he melted them down, which is illegal in every country. But he made it into a menorah. And since this rabbi was so holy, the silver was such a holy thing that it had a certain whole specialness to it. So the grandfather didn't want to give it up. So finally, he's going around. He said, "Okay, I will give you the menorah for 10,000 rubles." But he did it grudgingly. He really felt pained that he had to give up this prized possession of his because he really had nothing else. But he had to marry off his daughter and set her up quite well and taught his son-in-law smithing. His father-in-law became, the son-in-law became a successful silversmith, and he taught the grandson, who is this person who is the rabbi, this Leib is speaking to, this this Yechiel Tzoref, and he said, "When your grandfather and that woman's grandfather came to heaven, it caused a whole tumult. On one hand, he did a tremendous thing. He gave your grandfather a tremendous amount of money. On the other hand, it caused him pain by having to give up that. So but now, I am presenting to you, your grandfather's menorah, to rectify that things came full circle. So now both your grandfather and her grandfather can rest in peace. And you should have a happy and a healthy Hanukkah." And that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. You can still enjoy the rest of Hanukkah till tonight. It's still customary to eat donuts and latkes if your stomach can handle it. I know mine can't. I'm latked out at this point. Thank you very much. And we hope you have a great week. Oh, the song that we're closing with, that I promised at the beginning of the hour. This is courtesy of the Idelson Foundation. It's Woody Guthrie himself singing the Hanukkah dance. Let's listen in. Have a great Hanukkah. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Happy Hanukkah. Clap, clap hands. Smile and strudler on your toes. Happy Hanukkah. And around you go. Jump real high. Happy Hanukkah. Jump, jump high. My little fruitcake on your toes. Happy Hanukkah. And around you go. Run, run fast, happy Hanukkah, run, run, run. My little sugar pie on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, and around you go. Hop, 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 happy Hanukkah, yippity hop. My little jubilee on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, round and around you go. Tip, tap, toe, happy Hanukkah, around you go. Happy Hanukkah on your toes. Happy Hanukkah, round and around you go. Tip, tap, toe, happy Hanukkah, around you go. My little latke on your toe.